This is a pre-recorded interview with self-described avant-garde folk artist Jessica Hoop and the Rocky Mountain Review's Gregory James. Enjoy.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Northern California, Sonoma County, actually. Apple country. Well, it's wine country now, but it was apples when I grew up.
And how did growing up in that area affect your musical preferences and what kind of genres you were interested in?
Well, I had my mother and father's record collections. My mother's musical influences were more narrow than my father's, though I can't say that either of them gave me a full scope. My mother, well, she was deeply Christian, so I think her tastes were... Christmases were good. We grew up on Bing Crosby Christmas. I still enjoy a good Bing Crosby Christmas compilation. So there was hymns and Barbra Streisand that came through my mother. My father was old American folk, some pops, very little rock and roll, I have to say, in my father's collection. I mean, rock went as far as, like, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, even though you might consider that in the folk realm, but it was, you know, classic folk rock. Neil Diamond, some great folk music in my father's collection, verging on pop, so Joni Mitchell. But what I learned from my father and mother was old American folk music, some traditional, that kind of formed my foundation for what I knew about music as a child growing up. But I don't know about California and Sonoma County informing. I think my later days, I got into other stuff I found from my kind of chosen family once I moved out from home. So I fell in with Deadhead, like, straight out of high school. So that gave me, like, Jimmy Cliff and Led Zeppelin and all sorts of classic rock that the hippies were into. And then I moved on from there into, you know, a broader scope of exploration. I just started from a really very narrow view, having been raised deeply Christian, and my mother telling me that I couldn't listen to the Beatles past their record Help. And then breaking away from Christianity and falling more into kind of real hybrid type of environment, and the world of music opening up to me once I left my Christian roots.
What was it like cutting ties from your family's Mormon faith, and how did it change your music?
Breaking away from my parents, well, it was jarring for one, but and mind-bending for two, and scary for three. But the best thing that could ever happen to me in terms of music, that it's just a never-ending journey. And I'm not saying that I couldn't have had adventurous musical exploration. It's just that I'm not saying that Christians of all walks don't. I'm saying that my particular window, as afforded by my parents, was not. My dad was open-minded, but my mother wasn't. So going from there and getting to meet all different types of people, I got to enjoy their musical tastes and their musical influences, like I said, that brought rock and roll my way, which wasn't allowed to me as a Christian, and which also brought then hip-hop my way and music that was more explicit. And my own music is explicit, not necessarily because of rock and roll, but because of love for the truth and being transparent about what it is to be living.
As you became more independent and started your musical career, who did you look up to? Who did you idolize as, I want to be like that person?
Well, let's just be very clear. I think that if you want to be like that person, you're just going to perpetuate most things that I hate about the music industry. And there's plenty of things that I dislike about the music industry. So what I'd like to see is more people come out as who they are. I learned from Kate Bush how to be myself in the way that she sings from her emotional body, or that's how I interpret what she's doing. She's singing from her emotional body. PJ Harvey sings from her emotional body. Tom Waits sings from his emotional body. And I'm singing from my emotional body, which gives you expression that can't be repeated. No one can sing from my emotional body in the way that I do. And what I mean by singing from my emotional body, I have my voice that is mechanical, and I have my emotional body that is, well, I just don't understand it. But it gives me a feeling, and I sing from that feeling. And there's only one way to sing like Jessica Hoop, which is to sing from my emotional body. So I'm the only one who can do that. So I would like other people to do the same. I mean, to sing purely from my voice, I could sing like this, that, and the other person. But to sing from my emotional body, there's only one way to do that, which is to step into my shoes. You know, some of the people that I looked up to, Bjork, I looked up to learn how to sing from my own emotional body. I can be no one else. I shouldn't try. Whenever I do, I fail. I learn from genre. There's classic patterns that you can find in every genre, so I might pull those things in to what I'm doing. But I hope to sound like just myself.
What would your musical identity be if you had to choose?
Well, I refer to myself as avant folk because I'm not a purist in any way. The root of what I do is storytelling. But I fall into the avant-garde because I abstract from everywhere and draw that into storytelling. So at the root of what I do is folk music, stories from this time as I see it, but polluted by abstractions from everywhere.
And those stories that you tell, there's the surface level message, but is there any hidden messages that you have put into your songs that can't be seen at a first glance or first listen?
I address storytelling in a poetic fashion, and I think that if you listen close enough, the through line, the message is clear, although I've been accused of being opaque. In some songs, I'm not necessarily going to disclose to you what I mean, and I'm going to play around enough to let you derive your own concoction. But so say the song Pegasi, which is from the record Memories Are Now.
You found a map to my heart. It led you to the well. You combed out my main all where you're settled and reigns with all these stars at my feet. I'll step and tap the...
I'm drawing a metaphor about a relationship by using a constellation, two stars within that constellation. But it's enough for you to play with to get my meaning. In the song Free of the Feeling or Footfall to the Path from Stone Child.
As every hand I've ever held, like water moves from me.
Free of the Feeling is poetic enough to let you do a little bit of puzzle work, but I don't think it takes long to understand what I'm on about. Red, White, and Black, another song from Stone Child.
Take the old man to the river as mercy, wearing his father's coat and woven pedigree. Take his old friends from the gentry to the river. The river is thirsty. Take
is a poem that addresses racism and white privilege. It's very poetic because I'm trying to sort through my own understanding of a very complex subject. But if you know that I'm speaking about white privilege and racism, you can follow the dot.
When you're writing a song, do you start by having poems that you've worked out and you put to music, or do you have musical pieces that you find poems that you've written for that you can fit in?
It's just different every way. Every time I approach it, it's just different.
Do you have people who help you in this creative process?
I generally write isolated, me, myself, and I. I have done collaborations, but if it's a Jessica Hoop record, up to date, it's been me, you know, wrestling with it, me, myself, and I.
You said you collaborated with other bands, other musicians. Could you name some of them?
I've only done one other co-write. Well, I've co-written with Blake Mills. Actually, that's not so. He's written some of the stuff on a Jessica Hoop record. In terms of the music side of things, lyrically, it's always just me. And then I co-wrote a whole record with Sam Beam. It's called Love Letter for Fire, Iron and Wine's Sam Beam. I'm doing a tour with Ani DeFranco coming up.
Coming up on a Saturday, February 8th. Thank you for your time, Jessica.
Thank you very much for your time.